I'm Stephanie Wilson, and you're listening to Freedom Over Fascism.
And so we really try to recruit a very, very diverse range of people into our training programs. Some of them are what you might expect, which is young people just starting out their careers, bright-eyed and eager to get involved in politics. We also train a ton of people every cycle who are coming to us mid-career or late career, individuals who have built up a wealth of knowledge and skills in other fields, but that they want to apply to politics now because they see the rising threats in our country and in their own communities.
Last week, our guest Matthew Taylor scared the crap out of all of us with his description of independent, charismatic Christianity, the new apostolic reformation, and their battles with demons on behalf of their anointed king, Trump. If you haven't listened to the episode, please go back and listen. It's a very important piece about part of what we're up against every single day. It sounds batshit crazy, but it's real and it's scary. This week, as in many of our weeks, we have a tsunami of news about Donald Trump and his trials. It can really be confusing and overwhelming. But what we do know is that 4 in 10 battleground voters are up for grabs. They're persuadable and mobilizable, if that's a word. And they haven't yet figured out who they'll vote for or whether they'll vote at all. This data comes from the Research Collaborative and dovetails with what we know from that recent poll that showed that most Democrats have no idea what Trump has done and what the stakes of this election really are. In fact, this week in corporate media, NBC hired Ronna McDaniel, who used to run the RNC and who tried to overturn the 2020 election, is a known liar, and is one of the criminals in Trump's orbit that plan to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. Another thing that happened this last week in media is that James Carville, a staple of TV political analysis who helped Bill Clinton win his campaign for president, how many? 32 years ago, but hasn't helped elect a president since then, said, this is a quote, "Too many preachy females are dominating the culture of Democratic politics. What the actual fuck? President Biden and all of us know that women are the backbone of the Democratic Party." We have a lot of political and electoral power. Remember all of those white suits at the State of the Union? We are the biggest part of that volunteer army that Simon Rosenberg, a former guest on this show, an author of Hopium Chronicles, says is our biggest asset in this election. I know that a lot of you, our listeners, are powerful women that care about our world, and we are working our asses off to change it. So screw James Carville and any other good old boy, and let's exercise that power we know we have, and that Joe Biden knows we have, because he referenced it in the State of the Union. So we all know that the national corporate media is compromised and won't tell voters the stakes of the election. We'll be talking to more people who are doing something like that in the coming episodes. In the meantime, we know, and we've talked about it here, that talking to people we know in real life is the single most important way that we communicate about the stakes of this election. Here are a few tips from the most recent briefing of the Research Collaborative and Anant Shankar Osorio. The first thing is to frame Trump's trials, especially the one in New York, about voter deception and not about election interference or hush money. This is a man who tried to deceive voters so they wouldn't know the truth about him and was part of his 2016 electoral strategy. The second part is to aggregate everything we know about what Trump has promised into a list that makes very clear what he plans to do in simple language. All of this comes from the Project 2025 manifesto, but here's a simplified version of a couple points to talk about. He wants to ban IVF, which we all know helps families, many of whom have been trying for years to get pregnant. He plans to invoke the Insurrection Act on day one to deploy the National Guard to stop protests of every size. He wants to end sex education in schools. As we've talked about before, he wants to launch a militarized immigration deportment operation and build mass deportation camps for anyone they think looks like an immigrant. And a Trump administration would criminalize abortion providers and patients, increase the surveillance of pregnancy and miscarriage, and ban medication abortion. All of that said, I talked to executive director of ARENA, Lauren Baer, for this episode. ARENA trains campaign staff and movement organizers to be more effective in battleground or power-building states. I love how she refers to states who have further to go as power-building. In future episodes, I'll talk to a trans organizer in Kentucky and a Gen Z organizer in Chicago who have been trained by ARENA and who are making big advances in their communities. And overall, we'll continue to talk about tools and trainings and concrete actions we can all take to help organize for freedom and to stave off the desperation we all certainly feel sometimes. Without further ado, here's my interview with Lauren Baer. Lauren Baer, welcome to Freedom Over Fascism.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. I, as you know, focus a lot on state and local elections. So having you on here talking about how you help train people to run campaigns is fantastic. But first, I want to ask you, your bio is chock full of powerful and fascinating jobs, particularly in international affairs. And my background also is in international affairs, so it kind of got me. Can you give our listeners just a quick highlight? Because I think what you have been able to do in your lifetime is so interesting. And then let us know how it sort of relates to what you're doing at ARENA now.
Sure. I'd be happy to do the high-level overview here and try to draw the retrospective through line that we all try to do in our careers, I think. I'm trained as a lawyer, but I have a background in foreign policy. So I started my career as a litigator, but then I spent 6 years in the Obama administration working as a senior advisor to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State John Kerry, and then U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power. And in each of those instances, I was advising on human rights and international law and thinking broadly about America's role promoting democracy and democratic values worldwide. My career took a surprising turn post-2016 when Trump won his election, won that election, and I ended up returning to my home state and running for office. I was the Democratic nominee for U.S. Congress in Florida's 18th district in 2018. Unfortunately, lost that race, but also came out of it just really firmly committed to the cause of rebuilding and strengthening American democracy. And that's what took me to my work at ARENA today, where we help build the teams that power democratic victories. And I see what I'm doing right now in terms of strengthening and really helping to ensure resiliency in American democracy is fundamentally related to what I did back in my State Department days. You know, then I used to look at countries abroad and raise red flags when there was democratic decline. And something that started to be really frightening to me in late 2016 into 2017, 2018, was seeing those same red flags here in America. And I think they have only continued to grow and continue to come up at an increasing rate. And what I know from that previous work is that it's not just a one-way march towards progress. Democracies are fragile things that require tending. And if we don't tend to them, we can move backwards as well. And so I know from that work in foreign affairs that there's a lot that we need to be doing now domestically to ensure that we have a strong, robust, and importantly, for the purposes of my work at ARENA, fully inclusive democracy. And so that's what I spend a lot of my time day to day thinking about.
That's, I think, one of the most important things that it's kind of hard for any of us to grasp at a visceral level is that it's not a straight line of progress and that we're not at kind of the end of history. Mm-hmm. And so things can change. So with ARENA, you do a lot of training of candidates and campaign staff. Can you tell us a little bit about who participates in your programs and what they learn?
Sure. So really at the heart of our work, actually most of our work is focused around training campaign staff because we know that it takes great candidates to win elections, but they can't win those elections on their own. They need to be surrounded by qualified, well-trained teams who represent the diversity of our country, of our party, and the districts where folks are running. And so we really try to recruit a very, very diverse range of people into our training programs. Some of them are what you might expect, which is young people just starting out their careers, bright-eyed and eager to get involved in politics. We also train a ton of people every cycle who are coming to us mid-career or late career, individuals who have built up a wealth of knowledge and skills in other fields, but that they want to apply to politics now because they see the rising threats in our country and in their own communities. So we've trained everyone from a 30-year veteran firefighter who had retired from firefighting and wanted to take his skills into organizing, to training an individual who was formerly working in digital party planning and wanted to bring that to digital campaigning. Our goal is really to make clear that everyone has a place in politics and that everyone can find a way to apply their skills. So we have a range of different programs. Our flagship program is ARENA Academy. You don't have to have any experience to do this program. We train on 7 different tracks: campaign management, finance, data, digital communications, organizing, and organizing directors. And then we also offer a range of higher level programs for folks who've been in campaign work for a while, but want to sharpen their skills. For example, we have an upcoming training on data fluency for campaign managers, where we're going to take folks who've been at it for a long time, but really need to sharpen their data skills so that they have the analytic capacity to figure out that path to victory.
I want to try to apply it a little bit to what we talk about here and my work over the last couple of years, which is making sure that we have candidates to run state races, which is making sure we have candidates running for state house and yep. local elections and making sure that they are supported when they do it. Do you have a sense of how many people you help or who those people are that you help train for, say, state house races in red states where their chances aren't great, but getting as many people out to the polls is really their job? What is your sense of that?
Yeah. So what I would say is, you know, we broadly do work both in what we think of as battleground states, but also what we call power building states, because we don't think it's an either or proposition. We think it's a both and. Democrats need to be out there and be competitive in the places that we know it's going to be really tight this election year. But we also need to be doing the work to turn out voters and build coalitions in the places where we might not win this year, or 2 years from now, or 4 years from now, but maybe 6, 8, 10 years from now, if we put in the work, you know, places like Texas, or increasingly like some parts of Florida, where we've got to do it now so we don't cede, you know, the territory. And what I will say is, you know, ARENA is a place that has recognized for a long time the importance of down ballot races. For 40 plus years now, Republicans have been very, very heavily investing at the state legislative level. And it shows in terms of the number of state legislative chambers that they control and the broad range of really restrictive and negative policies that they have been able to enact at that level on everything from, you know, gun violence prevention or lack thereof, restrictions on reproductive freedoms, restrictions on voting rights. And so, you know, we try to really empower people with the skills to work wherever they think is important. And for some people, that's at the top of the ticket at the presidential level. But increasingly for our graduates, it is at the state legislative level or the local level, mayoral races, city council races, school board races, supervisor of elections races. The list goes on and on. There are literally tens of thousands of these types of elections in our country that are traditionally so under-resourced, so understaffed. And our goal is really to try to help provide the man and woman power that we need to win.
I think that's a really great point. A lot of, and particularly what I call MAGA captured states, red states, we cede the ground because we don't even run a candidate. And that is hopefully changing as we recognize that just giving away seats is tremendously hurtful to populations. For the people who are interested in helping at that kind of level, is the training any different, or how would you be able to help somebody who's maybe the candidate's best friend, not terribly well financed, but really wants to put in the work to help?
Yeah. So, I mean, we do a couple of different things. You know, we both train folks who are new to the work and wanting to get into it and then help them find jobs. But we also take folks who are already doing the work, often in a volunteer capacity, like you mentioned, and help provide them with the skills that they need to do the role better, whether that's in a paid capacity or, you know, whether they're doing it, like you said, in a volunteer capacity, because you know, your cousin or your best friend or your neighbor is running for a local role. Most of our trainings are national in scope, but we will often do trainings in conjunction with state and local partners. And when we do that, there is very much a local flavor to what we are training on, whether that is in terms of local rules and regulations or hot button issues locally. In the 2022 election cycle, we did trainings in person in Texas. We did a training in Arizona. This cycle, we, in April of this year, will be in Atlanta, Georgia, which we're very excited about, training and engaging about 500 people there. So, you know, for us, it's a mix. Where we do state-based work, we always do it in partnership with the folks who are on the ground, who are closest to the issues, who know it best. And then we also do so much work nationally in a way that's accessible to people everywhere, so that even if your community doesn't have enough people to sustain a full arena training in person there, you can come and get the stills and bring it home to wherever you are. So I would just say I'd really encourage anyone who's one of your listeners who's interested, you know, visit our website, arena.run. We've got info on all of our trainings and would love to help you find the one that's right for you.
That's great. I think a lot of our listeners are activists and organizers, and learning how to put that together with maybe not an individual candidate, but maybe organizing skills for the cause is something that they're looking for. I know that a lot of them would be very happy to have more skills at their fingertips.
And I mean, Stephanie, you raise a great point there, because not everyone we train goes on to work on a campaign in terms of the campaign of an individual running for elected office. Increasingly today, we have individuals working on ballot initiatives, for example, like the one in Ohio this past election to enshrine a constitutional right to abortion. We have individuals who do our trainings and go on to work for movement organizations dealing with a whole range of progressive issues and causes. And so we certainly place people and most people in a campaign context, but our goal is really to get people ready to fight the good fight, whatever kind of organization they want to do that in.
We're going to talk to a couple of your alumni later on. Can you just give us a little hint of maybe alumni who have been involved in well-known campaigns or even not, but just, you know, who we get a sense of who some of your alumni are?
Yeah, sure. So I would love actually to refer back to the two folks I mentioned earlier when I was talking about some of our non-traditional trainees. the firefighter I was mentioning, it was a gentleman by the name of Kevin Pearson, 30 years as a firefighter, trained with us in Texas, went on to be an organizer for the Reverend Warnock in Georgia in that critically important race. For me, he shows so much of what ARENA is about, which is helping someone who has had a really like long and successful career in public service find a way to politics and find a way to make a positive impact. We also have an incredible alumnus, Kiana Mackie Nance, who's the other individual who I'd mentioned earlier. She had her own party planning business in Georgia, actually. Came, trained with us, wanted to get involved in digital organizing, came out of that, also worked on the Reverend Warnock's campaign, then became Val Deming's digital director, is now the vice president of digital at Emily's List, one of the most influential Democratic political organizations. And so what we're really seeing at ARENA after a number of years of being in this work and having trained 7,200 plus individuals is it's not just that we're training folks and they're going and working one campaign or for one organization. They're staying in the work year over year. They're rising ever higher in the ranks. And for us, you know, that's a sign of a job well done, but it's also a sign of just a more diverse and representative group of folks who are working in politics, because frankly, the people that we train and we put in the field just look a lot different than most folks who have traditionally worked in politics, who are straight, cisgendered, white men. We are building a group and a cohort of political leaders who look like the Democratic Party and look like America. And it's really exciting to see them rise and thrive.
Do you continue with them after they've taken your training? Is there like a cohort or an alumni network that they get to be part of?
Yeah, we have a really strong alumni network. One of the great things about ARENA is you're not just here for training, you become part of the ARENA community, which is really a great big ARENA family. One thing that we provide to all of our graduates is career services. And this has helped not only finding your first job after training, but the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. We help people with mock interviews. We help them improve their resumes and get them really fully job ready. Because for us, it's about getting people into the work and helping them stay in the work. And then we also try to keep our alumni community alive. We do that through digital means like Slack channels and newsletters, but we also do it through the in-person events that we have every cycle, like this upcoming summit in Atlanta that is taking place in April from the 18th through the 21st of April of this year. We know that of the 500 people there, a solid number are going to be ARENA alums who want to come back. Some of them to get retrained, but a lot of them just to get recharged. It's hard to do this work. It is hard to stay motivated and inspired, especially when it seems like a lot of the news cycle is pretty dark and down. And so we think a huge part of what we do is bringing people together to remind them that they're not alone. They're in this fight with others, and they've got a whole network and community around them supporting them.
Well, that is great. And I'm really looking forward to talking to the alumni and hearing about what they've been up to. And I want to thank you for coming on and letting us know the breadth of what you're doing and helping to train all these people. I sort of adopted a red state, even though I live in Massachusetts. And a lot of places are building from a lot of years of not having anything. And what you're doing is so important for, you know, when people haven't been contesting races for a long time or just don't have the organization. So thank you for that. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. And if I could just make a final shout out to your audience, if this is interesting to you, please join us at Arena Summit this April. You can visit arena.run/summit to find out everything you need to know about how to register for that event. If you are a change maker, we would love to have you there with us in Atlanta as we help work towards victory this year and beyond.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Over Fascism. And thank you to our editor, Benji Wilson. Please join our Patreon at patreon.com/freedomoverfascism. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please drop us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. We thank you for choosing freedom over fascism.